I mean, you can guess how that's about to work out, right? You can guess. I'm sorry. Sorry. All right, well, here in a couple of decades, there's going to be some really nerdy baseball fans. And they're going to look at, they're going to be looking at stats. This is what happens. I very much like baseball. I very much like looking at different things, and, you know, I'll just get something in my head, and I'll start pulling stuff up on my phone, or looking online, looking at stats, looking at different things, and someone's going to do that here in a couple decades. They're going to, you know, some nerdy version of Drew in the future is going to be doing that, and they're going to be looking back at different teams. And they're going to be seeing the different championship baseball teams. And I got to tell you, almost every team but one who has won a championship, you can look at the stats and it makes sense. You can look at the team and you'll see Hall of Fame players and perennial all-stars in the field and on the mounds and the plates. And it really makes sense. You can look at those teams and say, okay, I get it. I know why they won. They had such and such a player. They had such and such a player. They had these guys. They did that. They had a manager who was great. Whatever. It's normally really easy to tell. But here in a couple decades, there's going to be somebody looking at that old stats, and they're going to look at the 2014 American League champion, Kansas City Royals. And they're going to be so confused. They're going to be so just beyond confused as to what on God's green earth happened in 2014. Now, if you don't really like baseball, sports, whatever, I apologize. I try not to talk too much about sports in sermons because I know not everybody likes it. So I'll try to keep this as, you know, as generic as I can. But here's the truth. The 2014 Kansas City Royals were kind of bad at baseball. They really were. If you look at the stat sheet, you look at their team, they didn't have anybody who's, you know, going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. They didn't have anybody that's really like an all-star every year. They didn't have anybody who hit a lot of home runs or any pitchers who everybody was afraid of. They didn't really have anything that you could look at and say, yeah, that's why they're a championship team. And yet they just somehow, they won a bunch of games in the regular season. They made the playoffs. They got into the playoffs. And then they just started beating all these teams that were better than them. Over and over, they beat these teams that were, objectively speaking, on paper and in reality, just better than them. And then they almost, after winning the American League pennant, after becoming champions, they went to the World Series. And they faced a team that you know, here in 20 years or so, nobody's going to be confused at. You know, the San Francisco Giants, who beat them in the World Series, no one's going to be confused as to why they won. Because they have several guys on their team that are going to be Hall of Famers and everybody's afraid of and all of that. But somehow the Kansas City Royals were able to come within one run, one out. There's a guy on third, actually, in that last game. They were able to come within that close to being the complete champions of all of baseball. And it's just, I gotta be honest, it's just the weirdest thing. And here in, you know, 20 years or so, some of you are really confused. So, what those people aren't gonna know, though, is this. In all of my years, I've been watching baseball as long as I can remember. I promise I'll be done with the sports talk for those of you guys who don't like sports. I've never seen a team like the Royals, because here's what the Royals did. It's not so much they were good. It's that they didn't do anything catastrophically stupid. Really, that's really the best quality of the Kansas City Royals was they didn't do anything stupid. They never made stupid outs on the base paths. Never. They very rarely, at a rate lower than everybody else, would make errors in the field. I mean, if you hit the ball to them, they caught it. You know, they very rarely did anything stupid. And so here's what that made the other team do, okay? What that meant was, even if they didn't do anything good, because they didn't do anything catastrophically stupid to beat themselves, they forced the other team to do something to beat them. And wouldn't you know it, it didn't always happen. It didn't often happen. Because baseball's a really hard game, okay? Baseball's really, really hard to not do stupid things in. I will always remember one of my fondest memories of Little League, and yes, this is one of the fondest ones. I was playing third base. Little League, and somebody hit the ball to me. Routine ground ball. All I've got to do is scoop it up and throw to first, and everything's fine. And everything was fine, so I scooped the ball up, and that was fine. That was easy. No problem. And I looked over to the first baseman, and I kind of measured my throw. Did a little bit of a, you know, winding up on the throw. And I let it loose, thinking it would safely land in the first baseman's glove. And as it turns out, I did something catastrophically stupid. I threw the ball 30 feet over the first baseman's head. Cleared the entire field, actually, and went up into the stands. You've never seen people scatter so fast. It's like kids at a keg party and the cops pull up. Like, there's everybody just completely just scatters everywhere. The guy who hit the ball through me ended up standing next to me at third base. I had to look at the guy. It was ridiculous. Baseball's a hard game, okay? And so what happened was the Royals didn't do anything stupid. All season, they didn't do really anything stupid. They were really the best team at not doing stupid things. And so that ended up winning. They kind of just waited for the other team to do something stupid. And wouldn't you know it, it happened. Over and over again. They didn't beat themselves. They did not shoot themselves in the foot. And suddenly, they're champions. Now, I tell you this not because it's January and spring training is really far away and I just wanted to talk about baseball. Although, it's a little bit of that. But you see, there's this lesson in life. So often we think that people who are successful at whatever it is that they do, we think that like they must be really talented or really good or they must have done something spectacular. But you see, life is pretty simple. You can do really well in life if you just don't do anything catastrophically stupid. I mean, really. If you just don't shoot yourself in the foot, you'll do pretty well for yourself. The trouble is, in life, so often, we're our own worst enemies. So often, somebody hits a ground ball to us, and we throw it out of the field for some reason. So often, we are the people who get in our own ways, we are the ones who are making ourselves miserable, and we are the ones who are causing ourselves to fail. And sometimes, as Christians, I think we forget that. Now, the Bible talks a lot about how we have an enemy. And that there is evil in this world, that there's an adversary, it was an adversary of Jesus, it's an adversary of us, and we talk about Satan a lot of times as if he's always out there just waiting. I mean, you look at that in the Bible, the New Testament writers talked about how Satan was like a roaring lion, he was waiting to pounce on someone, or in the book of Revelation, he's a dragon just coming and ready to destroy everything, or, you know, Jesus talked about how he was a thief, and he came to kill and destroy. And so a lot of times when something happens, we say, oh, that's Satan. Must have been Satan. And we forget that when we act catastrophically stupid, when we shoot ourselves in the foot, Satan doesn't have to do anything. He can order a pizza, prop up his feet, smoke a pipe, in his lounge coat, he's got his dog sitting next to the fireplace. He's catching up on all those shows he's DVR'd. I mean, that's like, we do his job for him, and then Satan doesn't have to do anything. As Christians, so often, we are our own worst enemies. We are the ones who are shooting ourselves in the foot. And so, because of that, this morning we're beginning a new series. So the next month, we're going to talk about some ways we do that. And, more importantly, some ways we can avoid that. You see, the last few weeks, we kind of wanted to all get on the same page, okay? So we said, this is what we are as a church. This is what kind of church we are. We're a church that connects. We're a church that calls. We're a church that cultivates. If you missed any of that or you just need a refresher, here's what that means. We at Ashton Christian Church, we want to invite and welcome everyone, okay? No matter who they are, everyone is always welcome here at this church. We want to connect with people. We want to call them. That basically is a fancy Bible word for we want to invite them to become Christians, to participate in the kingdom of God as Jesus defined it. Jesus came and he said, okay, you guys have some misconceptions about God. Let me clear some of those up. And so Jesus said, as I clear these up, as you guys come to faith in who God actually is, and you follow me, you become a part of my kingdom. That's what it means to call. And then we cultivate. We, as a church body, we're a place where you can grow, where we don't just, we're not the same people we were a year ago, but that they're being transformed by God. We are changed. Now, that's all well and good. But so often we shoot ourselves in the foot. And we wonder, well, why is this working? What's not going well here? And when we want to say, oh, you sneaky Satan, you must be doing something. And he's over there saying, I didn't do anything. You're acting catastrophically stupid. I don't have to do anything. Watch the next season of Parks and Rec here. It's going to be fine. So this morning, we're beginning this. And we're just going to be talking about really four things. We're going to talk about four things over the next month. And we're going to talk about what it is that we can do to avoid shooting ourselves in the foot. And so as we begin this, as we start this morning, we're going to hit the lowest hanging fruit, okay? We're going to get the real obvious one out of the way. And that's this. We as Christians so often shoot ourselves in the foot because we as Christians are the biggest hypocrites on the planet. Are we bad at this whole hypocrisy thing? Now, that's not a profound statement, okay? That's nothing that you should not be like, oh, yeah, we are, kind of. No, like, you should be aware that this is the way at least we're perceived. In every poll that has ever existed, people who are outside the church talk about how the reason they don't come to church, the reason they don't want anything to do with Christianity, their number one reason over and over and over is because we don't practice what we preach. We say one thing, and then we do another. We condemn all of these actions on a Sunday morning we condemn these actions, and then we go and we do the very same things we've condemned. Over and over and over, and I could sit here for the next hour and a half and tell you story after story after story after story. What we could do is we could bring the mic down, we could put it right here, and I could say, I want to hear your stories of hypocrisy that you've seen in the church, and we could just spend all day doing that. And then we'd all be real depressed and real discouraged. So we're not going to do that. But the point is this. It's not a novel thing for me to say that we are hypocrites. And the problem with this is pretty simple. Man, it is impossible to not be a hypocrite. I mean, really, unless you just don't condemn anything, unless you just don't preach anything, you're not going to practice what you preach all the time. I mean, that's the nature of being a person. I mean, Paul talked about that. The Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote more of the New Testament than anyone else, he wrote one day, he was writing a letter, and he would say, look, I'm a terrible sinner. He said, I am the worst sinner of them all. And he was kind of right. He killed Christians. Like, people should have read that and said, yep, we know. We are aware. But even after he became a Christian, it didn't really, you know, he stopped killing people, which, okay, low bar to meet, but I'm glad you met it, Paul. Congratulations. But later on, I mean, he even said, okay, I've stopped killing people, but at the very least, I'm still not doing what I should be doing. He said, there's all sorts of these things that I want to do, these things that I know that are right, and I can't do any of them. And he said, then there's these things that are wrong. These things that I know I shouldn't do. And I manage to every day wake up and do those things. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Always do. Paul talked about how he was a hypocrite. And the message there is, man, you're probably not better than Paul. Dude wrote most of the New Testament. To a certain level, we are all hypocrites. We are all going to just have to admit, okay, yes, I don't always practice what I preach. I don't always do the things I say I should do. And it can be really discouraging. And that's why it's a good thing that this is not a new problem. Okay? This is nothing new. This is nothing in the last, 20 years, 30 years. We can talk about example from the last, few decades, but this has been going back all the way back to Jesus' day. In fact, Jesus had a whole lot to say about hypocrisy. And so the good news is that we as Christians, we can find hope in the words of Jesus. So, one day, Jesus was talking the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, this is his kind of the basis, the foundation for everything that it is that he teaches. And in the middle of that Sermon on the Mount, here's what he says. He's talking to people who are following him, and he said, look, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven.
When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and the streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. Now, here's good news. Here's good news for people who may be really, really annoyed by the hypocrisy of Christians, whether we're in the church or outside the church. If you are really bothered and annoyed and frustrated with really hypocritical, fake Christians, you are in good company, because Jesus was too. It's hard sometimes as we look at the Bible, we read the Bible, it's hard to really know, like, tone. But make no mistake, Jesus was being incredibly sarcastic in everything he just said. He was talking about these people that he called hypocrites. Actually, the word he uses here that's translated hypocrite is just the word for actor. What Jesus was saying is, look, I look around at religion and I see a lot of people putting on a show. I see a lot of actors. It's like they're on this stage. It's like they're trying to tell a story, and they've made themselves the heroes of their own story. They want everybody who sees them to say, well, what a good religious person that is. Well, look how holy they are. And so he says, when they go, that was one example. He gave three examples, actually. He went to one example and he said, and then they give to the poor, they give these acts of charity, and the second they do, they pull out a trumpet and they start blowing it so everybody can see them. These fake people who just want attention. He said, and there's other people, and they go and they stand on street corners and they pray these elaborate prayers. And everybody who walks by is like, oh, well, look at that guy. Look how religious that person is. And they get all this admiration from people. And then Jesus talked about fasting. Fasting is this religious concept that the Jews were really big on. You don't eat food so that way you can focus on God. And he said these people fasted and they just walk around saying, I'm so hungry. It's because I'm fasting. If I wasn't so devoted to God, I would have a burger. I'm so hungry. And Jesus is talking about these fake people. And here's the thing. Right now, as soon as I start talking about fake people, like fake over-the-top religious people, like super, super holier-than-thou, self-righteous people who just, I mean, all the time, you're like, there's no way you actually think like that. There's no way that, like, when you go home, you are that holy. Like, we all know people like that. And most of us, when we see people like that, we have one reaction. We roll our eyes, and we make fun of them. And here's the good news. So did Jesus. Jesus looked at these people, and he just made fun of them. He said, this is ridiculous. You know, these guys are hypocrites. They're actors. Nothing is real there. They're fake. They are frauds. And it's pretty ridiculous. And then Jesus said, you know what? God doesn't honor that. God doesn't care. He knows you're putting on a show. So whatever reward you get from your show, that's what you're going to get. God's not listening to you pray when you're just doing it for a show. God doesn't care how much money you gave when you did it just so everybody can pat you on the back. That's not the way this works. Now, let's be honest. I really wish that I could just stop right now preaching. Have the musicians come up right now. And the lesson of today is don't be like that. We can handle that, right? We can handle not being super religious and really annoyingly devout and like everybody looks at you and they're like, there's no way that we can avoid that, right? You see, Jesus wasn't actually talking to those people. Jesus was talking to people like you and I and saying, there's something in them that is also in you. You see, when you break down why people like that, have you ever thought about why people do that? Like, why do people want to put on a show? What's the point? I mean, they know the truth. I mean, they know they're not really like that. What's the point of putting on a show? The point is, I think what Jesus was getting at was that there's a satisfaction that comes from being admired by others. And there's a desire within each one of us. And the core of hypocrisy is to want to elevate ourselves above other people. We want other people to view us as something that we're not, because it makes us feel better. We know when we look in the mirror, we know exactly who we are. We see all the flaws. We see everything that's wrong. And as a defense mechanism, we put up this wall. We put up this this mask. We get on the stage, so to speak. We say, I don't want anybody to actually see who I am. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend like I'm better. So I'm going to act like something I'm not. It's the very same principle we talk about practicing what we preach. We say, I know that I'm not actually going to do the things that I'm preaching. I understand I am just as flawed as everyone that I might be condemning. But I can't let them know that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend like everything's fine. And the whole idea is that we can elevate ourselves over other people. Now, this is where I stop preaching and I start meddling, because this is not just a religious thing. Back then, in Jesus' day, being religious was really an honorable thing. Religious leaders were also the governmental leaders. There was no separation of church and state. So if you were super religious, that meant typically you were also super wealthy, and that typically meant you were super powerful. And so people would look at you and they would go, ooh, I should listen to that guy. That person's powerful. But really all they were doing was trying to elevate themselves above other people. And the fact of the matter is this. With all due respect to everyone here, you and I are just as guilty of that. Whether we put on a religious show or not. I'm not come down on anybody, because I'm the same way. We want to believe we're better than other people. We want to believe that we're smarter. We want to believe that we have the answers. We want to believe that we are more worthy of something. We want to believe that because, well, we can compare ourselves and we can say, well, I make more than that guy. I make more money than that guy. I've got a nicer house than that guy. I've got a nicer car than that guy. Well, my kids are way better behaved than those person's kids. My kid, did you see what my kid did in basketball or football? My kid is way better. And that means I'm a better parent, and that means I'm better. And the part that's really gonna hit me in the chest, if I can be a little bit transparent, we do this in the church too, where we say, well, I'm not like those Christians. I mean, I follow Jesus, but not like those guys. Those guys are weirdos. They have like 25 kids. They all homeschool. And they speak in tongues, and that's weird. I'm a Christian, but listen, I'm not like those guys. If you find yourself, every time you introduce yourself as a Christian, saying, yeah, but not like those guys, you're guilty of what Jesus was talking about here. And that, man, that hits me, like, right there. You see, what Jesus was trying to explain was that we as people, we want to elevate ourselves over other people. We want so badly to look like something we're not. We want so badly for people to think that we're great. And whether it's with our religion, or whether it's with our job, or whether it's with something else, we want people to look at us and say, yeah, that guy's got to figure it out. Yeah, I mean, that lady's awesome. Yeah, they've got it worked out. And so every one of us walks around with this mask on. And we don't want people to see who we really are. Because if they saw who we really were, then we would have to admit some uncomfortable truths. Now, unfortunately for us, or rather fortunately, the gospel of Jesus confronts those truths and says, you have to have this. The core of hypocrisy is believing that we are better than other people. It's attempting to elevate ourselves over other people. And the Jesus who rolled his eyes at the actors of his day, he had this teaching. And the core of his teaching brought us back to earth. He said, what I want you guys to do is I want you to love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. I want you to treat other people the way you would like to be treated yourself. In other words, Jesus said, you're not more important. You need to love your neighbor exactly as you love yourself. Whatever you think about your neighbor, that's what you need to think about yourself. Or rather, whatever you think about yourself, that's what you need to think about your neighbor. You see, Jesus was trying to get us to understand that the way that we're going to interact with as human beings, the only way we're ever going to treat people the way God wants us to treat other people is if we view people the way God wants us to view other people. And that every time we are trying to elevate ourselves over other people, we are ignoring the truth that we are all equal. Here's the fact of the matter. I don't care what religion somebody is, what skin color somebody is, how they vote. I don't care about any of that. I don't care if they're male, female. I do not care. The fact of the matter is this. Each and every person was made in God's image. And Jesus came and died for each and every person. That means every human being who has ever been born has been so valuable we can't put it into words. Each and every person is important. And because each and every person has sinned, each and every person is broken and flawed. That's what it means to be human. We are amazingly, beautifully valuable and amazingly, in a really ugly way, broken. That's humanity. And Jesus' teaching said, I want you to treat other people the way you would treat yourself. Because you and other people, you guys are on equal ground. This elevating stuff you guys do, those are shenanigans. Those aren't right. That's not, I mean, you can pretend, but it's just an act. It's just an act. You're just being an actor. It doesn't matter. Instead, I want you to acknowledge the truth that everyone is equal. The people you disagree with, you're equal with. The people that you don't even understand how they're thinking, you're equal with them. The people who you are nothing like at all because you were raised in a completely different society, a completely different culture, a completely different race or religion or anything, you are all equal. Jesus even said, well, if you can't get that through your head, well then, to make sure you're not elevating yourself above people, he said the true character of a person is to make yourself lower, to serve them. Okay, so we're not good at this equality stuff. So put them ahead. Push comes to shove, you need to, put them ahead. The core of Jesus' message was to get us to understand that there are not rankings of human beings. I gotta say, that's really hard. Because like you, there are people that I look at them and I say, what planet were you born on? I mean, if God made me in His image and God made you in His image, that must be like two different gods. That has to be. Because this looks nothing alike. But the fact of the matter is, all life matters. All people are important, regardless of where we come from. And every time we try to elevate ourselves over other people, we're lying to ourselves. And we're hypocrites. And it'll come out in a lot of different ways. But we're hypocrites. We shoot ourselves in the foot. Now here's some good news. The good news is this. When we can get this right, we can stop shooting ourselves in the foot, and we can recognize that we are equals. All of us are equals. There are not ranking systems of humans. And we can start treating people the way we'd like to be treated. We can start loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Well, something starts to happen. You're not going to get many accolades for that. You're not. And that's okay. Because, you know, we're all the same. What accolade can I give you that even matters? What starts to happen is people see God. And whether we are connecting or calling or cultivating or some mixture of the three, no matter what we're doing, Jesus taught in that very same Sermon on the Mount, there's something we should be doing. So Matthew chapter 5. That same sermon he talked about the hypocrites, he said this. He says, you are the light of the world. Like a city of a hill on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see, when we're hypocrites, we make ourselves the focus of our own story. We're putting on an act and we're the heroes. What Jesus taught us, though, was that when we recognize that we're all equal and we start treating people the way we would treat ourselves, well, then people will start seeing what we're doing. And they won't give us a high five. They won't pat us on the back. But they will begin to pray their Heavenly Father. And that's the way this is supposed to work. This morning, as we begin this series on shooting ourselves in the foot, and we discover that as much as I would like to just talk about some Christian somewhere else, that Jesus' message is about me as much as anyone else. The lesson that needs to be our goal, and it's this. Our first lesson from shooting ourselves in the foot is this. When we do not act like something we're not, we allow God to be the focus of our story. When we don't act like something we're not, we allow God to be the focus of our story. We get this one of the clip from Jack Ryan, the Shadow Recruit or something. It's a spy movie. It's exactly what you think it is. Jack Ryan, the guy who was in Star Trek, so Captain Kirk, is now a spy. And Captain Kirk, as a spy, and no one knows who he is. He has lied his entire life. He's a former Marine. Then he starts working with the CIA. And no one. He lives with a woman that is his fiance, and she doesn't even know anything that he is doing. In fact, he's actually working with the CIA. Everybody thinks that he's this financial analyst. And because it's a movie that never backfires, he's able to put on this act. Everybody can think he's something he's not. And because it's a movie, he becomes the hero of the movie. He ends up saving the day, and you can watch it, and you can see why I turned that off before, you know, this sermon. The point is, a lot of people think that life is like a movie. That we're the center of attention. That we are the hero of that story. And like Jack Ryan's the hero, well, so will we be. And he can lie and pretend like he's something he's not, and everything works out. See, in real life, it's not the way it works. You're not fooling anybody. When Jesus saw super hypocritical, self-righteous, holier than thou people who made themselves the center of their story, Jesus kind of rolled his eyes and made fun of them. And for you and I, our best-case scenario is something God doesn't want. As we put on an act and pretend like we're better than we are, the best case scenario is somebody starts to elevate us, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to lead other people to God. The center of history, the center of humanity, the center of everything is God. A God who has at his core love and grace and mercy. A God who unconditionally cares for everyone he has made. I promise you, if we start talking about God instead of ourselves, if we show people God instead of who we are, even what we're acting like, I promise you, it's going to work out better. God is way more amazing than any act we could ever put up. And so we are called to let the act go, to stop the hypocrisy, and just be honest. That we're all equal. We're all valuable because God has made us that way. He showed us in Christ that we are all valuable. And we're all broken because, man, we shoot ourselves in the foot over and over and over. And when we do that, Satan doesn't have to do anything. He can sit back, order a pizza, and everything's fine. But if we're honest, and we're transparent, we're humble, and we serve other people, we view other people as equal, and we treat other people as equal, then God becomes the center of the story. And remember, you can win a championship just by not being catastrophically stupid. If we can get this through our heads, man, we don't have to be good at anything else. Because at the end of the day, if we just get out of the way and show people God, man, everything's going to work out. Our goal is not to show people ourselves. Our goal is to show people God. And so long as we are in the way, people aren't seeing God. They're seeing us. And that's what we've got to knock off. So when the musicians come forward, they're going to sing a song. And the invitation is for us to start believing and living by these truths. The good news is this: we are all valuable. Jesus did die on the behalf of all of us. God sent Jesus to show us the depth of his love, to conquer all of the evil that we see, everything that binds us, and to free us from sin. And if you've never said, you know what, I want a part of that. I want to be part of that kingdom. Jesus showed us how to live in a kingdom. under a reign, a rule of God, where God is the one who is in charge. If you've ever made that decision, well, we can do that. The Bible teaches that when we believe those things, there's a decision we made. It's called to repent and be baptized. It's not like two things, it's just one. When we repent, it's like we turn our backs on who we used to be. We say, I don't want to be that old person. I want to be the way God wants me to be. As we're baptized, it's a symbol. We go down in some water, it's like the old cells being put to death. We get out of that water, we're born again. The Bible promises, not a command, it's not a do this, you're going to hell, but it is a promise. That as we do that, our sins are washed away, God gives us His Spirit, and we're new. And we don't have to act, we don't have to lie, we don't have to pretend like we're anything other than we are. And that is equal, valuable, and loved by God. If you've never made that decision, we've got nice warm baptistry, all sorts of people who can do that, let's talk. If you're already an immersed believer in Christ, you're looking for a perfect church home, it is not here. You heard my baseball story. I'm bad at throwing baseballs. We're all pretty bad at things. It's not a perfect church, but we do serve a perfect God. We want to connect, call, and cultivate. We want to get out of our own way. We want to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. And we want to meet new people, share the gospel, and grow up. If you want to be a part of a church like that, let's talk. As we stand, and as we sing.